it's official. The U.S. has slipped into a recession. The question is, are you prepared for it? Hi, I'm Rob West. It may be only a technical recession, and the employment numbers remain high, thankfully. But who knows what tomorrow will bring? Best to be ready. I'll tell you how today, and then it's on to your calls at 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. This is MoneyWise on American Family Radio. Biblical wisdom for your financial decisions. Well, first of all, preparing for lean times is not only common sense, it's backed up by God's Word. Consider Proverbs 6, which teaches, "Go to the ant, consider her ways and be wise. She prepares her bread in summer and gathers her food in harvest." And in Genesis 41, we're told about Joseph as overseer for the Pharaoh, storing up grain. It reads, "And the 7 years of famine began, just as Joseph had said. There was famine in all the other lands, but in the whole land of Egypt, there was food." We don't have famines in the U.S., but we do have the business equivalent, recessions. In modern times, they seem to come about every 10 years, usually following strong economic growth. So it's never a question of if a recession will come, only when. So how do you prepare? Well, here are some things you can do. They're not complicated or difficult, and they won't take a lot of time, but they will give you a great start on being prepared for a financial setback. First, take 5 minutes to sign up for a personal finance newsletter or blog. Christian Credit Counselors has a great blog about debt management and improving your finances in general. That's at christiancreditcounselors.org/blog. Also, our friend Crystal Payne has a daily newsletter with money-saving tips and deals. You can sign up for that at moneysavingmom.com. Second, make a to-do list of 10 financial tasks you've been putting off. Some examples might include checking your credit score. If you have a credit card, your issuer probably offers this as a free service. Related to that, get your credit report from annualcreditreport.com. You can get one from each of the 3 credit reporting bureaus free each year. Another idea might be set up a high-interest savings account at an online bank, or get disability insurance if you don't have it, or maybe make out your will. Just keep going until you have 10 items on your list. Pretty easy so far, right? Now, once you have your list, you're ready for the third step in preparing for a recession. Do something. Pick one thing from your financial to-do list and just do it. That'll give you the satisfaction of crossing it off. Then, make a commitment to do another item each week. You're much more likely to finish the list if you focus on just one item. It's the old joke, how do you eat an elephant? Well, one bite at a time. Okay, fourth, set up a system to track your spending. If times are tough, you want to know where every dollar is going. You can do this manually with a small notebook where you write down everything you spend, or you can simply have the free MoneyWise app to do it for you. It also has 3 ways to set up your budget, so one will be right for you. Download it wherever you download apps and just look for MoneyWise Biblical Finance. Fifth, once you're tracking your spending, you'll get an idea of how you can make your dollars stretch farther. Try to identify one area a week where you can trim or cut something altogether. A good place to start is by canceling recurring charges in your checking account for apps or streaming services you no longer use. Odds are you have a few. Sixth, and this is really at the heart of financial preparedness for lean times, work up your Mayday budget. This is where you prioritize the 4 essentials. Number 1 is food, because you have to eat. 2 is housing, because you need a place for you and your family to live. 3 is utilities to keep the lights on and your home heated or cooled. And finally, transportation. Determine how much you'll need for those budget categories. All other bills are less important, and you can always catch up on them later. That's your Mayday budget. Now, last on the list of things you can do to prepare for a recession, but certainly not least, is take time to reflect and meditate on God's financial principles. There are more than 2,300 verses in the Bible laying out God's wisdom for managing money, so you've got plenty of reading to do. Maybe focus on one each day, like Proverbs 22:7, "The rich rules over the poor, and the borrower is slave of the lender." And if you're experiencing financial difficulty right now, a good place to start is with Philippians 4:19. It reads, "And my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus." So those are some ways you can prepare for a recession, and we hope you find them useful. All right, your calls are next, 800-525-7000. We'll be right back.
Can we trust the Bible?
He says, "We saw this," and that sets the Bible apart from almost everything else in the ancient world and its religious pantheon of gods and goddesses.
The God Who Speaks, the important documentary from the American Family Association, is now available to watch for free on AFA's brand new streaming platform. Go to thegodwhospeaks.org to watch this award-winning film today. thegodwhospeaks.org.
Satan is waging an invisible war against God, and Christians are caught in the crosshairs. This week on Pathway to Victory, Dr. Robert Jeffress reveals how Satan is targeting Christians on both a national level and as individuals. Don't miss an important week of studies this Monday through Friday on Pathway to Victory with Dr. Robert Jeffress.
Weekday mornings at 6 Central on American Family Radio.
If you're investing for retirement or any other goal, you may be wondering if it's possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market. Sound Mind Investing has a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. SMI has helped tens of thousands of Christians learn to be wise and faithful stewards in the area of investing. Profit and peace of mind no matter what's happening in the market at soundmindinvesting.org.
As a parent, you hope your children will grow to be resilient and confident about the future. Next time on Focus on the Family, Dr. Kathy Cook offers insights on building a framework for instilling resilient character into your child, character that will aid them as they walk through life. That's next time on Focus on the Family with Jim Daly.
Focus on the Family is heard each weekday morning at 5 o'clock Central on American Family Radio.
Sometimes you just need a little guidance to help point you in the right direction.
In 300 feet, turn right.
If you're feeling lost when it comes to your finances, we're here to help. You can connect with a trained MoneyWise coach absolutely free. A MoneyWise coach can help you build a personal budget, develop a plan to knock out your debt, and more. Visit MoneyWise.org/connect. That's MoneyWise.org/connect.
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org or call 800-557-1985.
Great to have you with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host. We have some lines open today. We'd love to hear from you. We'll be taking your calls and questions on anything financial. The number to call is 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. Are you thinking about your spending plan in these challenging times? And they are challenging. We're paying more just about everywhere we go. The average family is spending about $500 more per month, $6,000 a year. That's a big deal, especially if you're living paycheck to paycheck. And your biggest weapon against that, if you will, is your family budget, the ability to control the flow of money in and out, which means we have to give every dollar a name. And it also means that we need to understand exactly where we are. Do we have any margin? Are we spending more than we're taking in? And if so, what changes do we need to make? Well, you can't do that until you have visibility into your spending plan. You want to talk about today, we'd love to hear from you. What about saving for the future? future? How do you invest in these challenging times? As interest rates rise, how should we think about our emergency fund? What about debt repayment? You know, getting out of debt right now is more important than ever as interest rates continue to climb. That debt service is going to be more and more expensive. So becoming debt-free is really critical, especially with consumer debt, beginning with those credit cards. And then finally, our giving plan. What is our plan to not only be systematic in our giving, starting with the local church, but beyond that, moving from the systematic and proportionate giving to what I'll call the sacrificial giving, as we look at the needs around us, both in our community, the people on our path, the ministries doing great work in God's name, like MoneyWise and American Family Association, and even to the ends of the earth. Participating with God in His activity is one of the great privileges He gives us with, in part, our financial resources, that which He's entrusted to us. You see, we don't want to be a reservoir where God's provision stops with us. We want to be a pipeline into God's activity, and it brings with it incredible joy. So whether it's live, give, owe, or grow, we'd love to hear from you with your questions today. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Also coming up on today's broadcast, I'll weigh in on this idea that we see in Scripture about being rich toward God. What does that mean to be rich toward God? We see that come up in one of the parables that Jesus tells about a rich man who's building bigger and bigger barns. And we see that Jesus finishes the story by saying that he is not rich toward God. Well, what is that concept? Let's explore that a bit, and we'll do that a little later in today's broadcast. All right, let's head to the phones today. 800-525-7000. We'll begin in Vermont. Sue, thank you for calling. You go right ahead.
Yes, my question has to do with, I just recently bought a brand new vehicle for my work. I deliver mail for a living, so I just bought this new Jeep. Unaware, I probably should have done more background check research. I bought it, the interest rate on it is 5.357, which isn't too bad. But then I was talking to a friend of mine in church, and she told me that there was a way of paying the principal monthly so that you actually delete the interest for that month. And,
yes,
you know, when you first start paying on a vehicle, you're paying mostly interest. So I was wondering, could you please explain that to me, how I can do that? Because I've talked to my loan company, and she didn't seem to know at the credit union how that works. She was going to check into it, but I thought, well, I would ask you what you thought about that.
Yeah, I'd be happy to weigh in on that. You know, the idea is that there's an amortization schedule that shows each periodic loan payment that is owed for a level payment loan, and it breaks down how much of each payment is designated for interest versus the principal. And obviously, the quicker you pay down that interest, the principal, the less interest you will pay over time. So the key for you is to try to pay more than that minimum payment, if at all possible. Do you have some margin left over after your expenses where you could pay beyond the scheduled payment?
That's what I did with my old vehicle, was I just paid extra on the loan, because I always have it automatically deducted from my checking account. So I'm not dealing with forgetting a payment, and my credit is excellent. And by doing this, so I've always paid extra, but I didn't know if that's how I should do this, is just put extra on the loan, or if I should just be paying that principal to delete that interest for that month. That's how I kind of caught it from her.
You're not going to delete it. It's going to be there based on the scheduled payment. So a car loan is made up of two components, the principal and the interest. So each loan payment is split between paying off the principal and the interest, but it's not split evenly. So the amount of each payment that goes toward principal you know, is the process called amortization. So in the beginning, she's right, the majority of the payment will go toward interest. Over time, more of the loan payment goes toward paying down the loan balance. And as the amount of money you owe decreases on the loan, so does the amount of interest you'll have to pay. And so if you can prepay this in the sense that you would send more than that scheduled monthly payment, then there's less interest that will be paid over the life of the loan as that principal balance decreases. So the idea here is that, you know, if you have the ability to pay more, and I would look at that in light of other priorities. So, for instance, I would want to make sure that you have that emergency fund in place of 3 to 6 months expenses. That would be my priority number one. And then I'd look at other loans where you have a higher interest. So if you're carrying a balance on credit cards, I would prioritize paying those off with any margin that you have. But if you don't, you're saving for the long term in a retirement account. You've got your emergency fund. You're not paying interest on high interest debt like credit cards. Then paying off this car as quickly as you can makes a lot of sense with your surplus. And doing that through an extra payment toward the principal is the way you would want to go. If you make your payment online, you can do that by, generally, there's a place where you can put in extra money that goes toward the principal. If you're doing it by check, a lot of folks will write two checks, one for the regular monthly payment and another with the extra principal reduction amount, and on the memo line write applied to principal only. I would also call your loan servicer, the company that is holding the loan, and just find out how they want you to do it to make sure that that's being applied appropriately, and then check your next statement either physically or electronically just to make sure that the amount was applied toward the principal and it's coming down. But that's really the key for you, Sue. As you try to pay this down, just send as much extra as you can, and over the life of the loan, you will absolutely pay less interest.
Okay. Yeah, we paid our home off last summer.
Great.
So that's totally not in our debt ratio. And we don't have any credit card debt. So it's basically my vehicle and my husband's vehicle that we're paying on.
Yeah, excellent. Well, those should be your focus right now, because if you can get those paid off, you'll feel a lot better about that. It'll also free up some margin for you to put toward other things. And generally, that's going to be one of two things, either additional giving or additional savings for perhaps your next car purchase. Maybe you just keep making that payment to yourself, and next time you need to purchase a car, you can do it with cash. Sue, thanks for your call. We've got some lines open, 800-525-7000. What's your question? We'll tackle that next on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. Stick around. We'll be right back.
AFR programming is now available on Alexa.
You're joking, right?
Nope, not joking.
Seriously?
Yep, this is not a drill.
Wait a minute, no way.
There's a way, the Alexa way. So if you just happen to miss your favorite shows, no worries. You can now listen to each podcast with Alexa. It's simple and it's free. Just visit afr.net/apps and click Alexa. We're not joking.
If you enjoy this radio program, you will love all of the many different resources waiting for you at moneywise.org. You'll find more powerful wisdom, podcasts, articles, videos, and more from partners like the National Christian Foundation, Sound Mind Investing, and Christian Healthcare Ministries. Connect with a community of thousands of Christians striving to be faithful stewards, and check out all of the free biblical financial advice at moneywise.org.
What does the American Family Association stand for?
AFA aims to evangelize the lost and disciple the believer. AFA aims to strengthen biblical marriages and equip parents to raise godly children.
These values and more are part of our mission to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. We want to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Thank you for standing with us.
Christian Healthcare Ministries enables believers to show love for one another by sharing each other's health costs. Through CHM's voluntary health cost sharing programs, members uplift each other spiritually and financially. CHM is an eligible option under the Affordable Care Act and a Better Business Bureau accredited charity. Interested? Learn more by calling 800-791-6225 or online at chministries.org.
For over 40 years, American Family Association has stood for righteousness and God's truth in our nation.
American Family Association Executive Vice President Ed Vitagliano.
One important way you can join us in the battle is through a charitable gift annuity with the AFA Foundation. The charitable gift annuity benefits you, and it benefits the culture-transforming work of American Family Association.
Phone 800-326-4543, extension 345.
How should we as Christians think about investing? What if we could invest our money in a way that aligns with what we believe? At Eventide, we believe it is possible to love God and love our neighbor in the very practice of investing. We design investments for performance and a better world so you can invest for the future with a sense of wholeness and purpose. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More information is available at investeventide.com.
Delighted to have you with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. You know, as we talk about having a biblical worldview, looking at the world through the lens of Scripture, that applies to so many, well, really every facet of our lives, and that includes our finances. You know, often we think, well, no, this is that portion of my life that I'm in control of, that I generated. Well, if we go to Scripture, we see that it's even the Lord who gives us the power to create wealth. It all comes from Him. He is our provider. He will never abdicate or delegate that responsibility to anyone or anything else. And so as we look at our role in having a biblical worldview, we need to think about our money in light of that. What does it mean to think about handling God's money in light of Scripture as we hold it loosely and give it generously, and as we think about living with contentment, as the Apostle Paul talked about, whether we're in a time of need or a time of plenty, whatever it is, looking to God to ask the question, Lord, what would you have me to do? How can I best reflect your heart for me, where you're taking me, the calling you have on my life, and how can I align your resources as a tool to accomplish your purposes? When we start with that approach, it really changes everything. We'd love to hear from you today. We've got some lines open. We'll get you on the air quickly, and you can call anonymously if you want, 800-525-7000. Whatever's on your mind today, financially speaking, we'd love to hear from you. Again, 800-525-7000. Before we go back to the phones today, I mentioned we would talk about being rich, but perhaps a little differently than you might have thought. You might think that being rich is really what you want, to have a lot of money. That would sure solve a lot of problems, right? Well, the answer depends upon your worldview. Look through the lens of God's Word and you get one answer. Examine life from a worldly perspective and the answers will be completely different. So let's explore this idea of being rich. What does the Bible say about it? Well, in Luke 12:15, Jesus warns against greed and says, "A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." Then Jesus tells a parable about a rich man who builds bigger and bigger barns to store his crops and his possessions. The rich man is pretty satisfied and says to himself in verse 19, "You have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry." But God said to him, "You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?" Now, Jesus finishes the story with a warning to all of us, and he says, "This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself, but is not," and here's the key, "is not rich toward God." The rich man in this parable has a godless worldview. His desire is just to be rich, to accumulate a lot of things so he can take life easy. Obviously, that doesn't work out for him. According to Jesus, the godly perspective is better. Why? Well, because it has eternal value. It takes the focus off human desires and looks to God instead. Jesus said we are to be rich toward God instead of rich toward ourselves. But what does being rich toward God look like? Well, the author and pastor John Piper explains it in this way. He says, "Being rich toward God doesn't mean to enrich God. I think it means to count God as your riches. If you are looking about for where to be rich, focus on God. He is your great reward. He is your riches." And here's the key, Piper says, handle your money in such a way as to show that God and not money is your treasure. So wanting to be rich is a natural desire, but if we're going to become mature believers in Christ, we need to leave natural desires behind. And as Piper says, we need to learn how to handle our money in such a way as to show that God, not our money, is our treasure. So how do we do this? What does it look like to be rich toward God? Well, here's a couple of ideas that I would share with you. First, be generous. Give to God's kingdom as he leads you. Find ways to serve others with your time, talents, and treasure. Second, handle your money with integrity. Be honest in all your dealings. Pay your obligations on time. And if you have children and grandchildren, teach them biblical financial principles. Third, keep your priorities straight. Money is not the goal. Godly character is, and we've got to keep that in mind. We also want to be grateful for our blessings. You know, our God is a good Father, and he's given us so much, beginning with the eternal benefits of salvation in Christ. So when we give up being rich toward ourselves and become rich toward God, well, we receive God's encouragement, his love, his wisdom, his understanding. In Colossians 2, Paul prays that God's people may be encouraged in heart and united in love so that they may have the full riches of complete understanding, in order that they may know the mystery of God, namely Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. So that's our prayer for you today, that you would reap the spiritual benefits of being rich toward God. I hope that's an encouragement to you. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. That's 800-525-7000. And the next segment, we'll be taking your calls, and we'd love to hear from you. Before we head to our next break, a couple of emails that have come in. We like to tackle emails when we can. They come in at questions@moneywise.org. And if you have a question you'd like to heard read on the air or responded to by one of our coaches, we'd love to hear from you. Again, questions@moneywise.org. Michael in Missouri writes to us. He says, I'd like to start a business in the near future. It's a pizza place, and he says it's going to be, quote, like no other in the country. I'd like to try it. I'm trying to get my wife on board with saving. She says it's stressing her out. She says I'm putting too much pressure on her. How should I go about this? And Michael, I would say go slowly. Here's the thing. You know, whenever we're starting a new venture, especially one that could impact our personal finances, and certainly when there's debt, I think you need to strive for complete spousal unity. And if you don't have unity on this, I think that would be a showstopper. So I think you need to be careful. You need to go slow. The key to a new business is to have a plan, number one, and be conservative. Number two, I'd have a partner or a mentor at the very least. Number three, I'd be sure that you're protecting your personal finances, which means you have the staying power to weather a slower start than you're expecting. And number four, have a plan for provision. So that might mean that you need to keep a second job. Go slowly, get your wife on board, and if she's not, I'd delay this. We'll be right back on MoneyWise.
You probably have a strategy for your finances, your career, even your retirement. But do you have a strategy for your giving? At the National Christian Foundation, we can help you create a giving strategy to inspire your family, maximize your resources, and leave a lasting legacy of faith. To learn how, visit moneywise.org/NCF.
The National Association of Independent Schools hosted a conference with Gender Spectrum. They encourage child transgenderism and partner with surgeons who perform sex change operation on kids. If a gender-confused adult decides they want to try to be someone other than who God created them to be, they have free will to do so. However, when we tell a little boy he can be Superman, Batman, or a girl, we've crossed the line. I'm Pastor John Miller. Visit me at churchontherock.org.
If you have money in a retirement account or just a general investing account, you know the stock market can sometimes be like a roller coaster. But it is possible to enjoy both profit and peace of mind in investing, no matter what's happening in the market. You can see a short video webinar on that topic at soundmindinvesting.org. Since 1990, Sound Mind Investing has sought to offer financial wisdom for living well. soundmindinvesting.org.
Siri, I need some advice.
What's up?
I have questions about planning for retirement, long-term care insurance. I don't know where to start.
It sounds like you need the MoneyWise app. It's a free app that will help you find those answers and more.
Really?
Sure thing. You can ask your questions within the app and access helpful articles and MoneyWise podcasts.
Sounds great. Siri, download the MoneyWise app.
Okay, searching for MoneyWise on the App Store. Learn more at app.moneywise.org.
Hello, I'm Sam Rohr, president of the American Pastors Network, a growing national network of pastors committed to the authority of Scripture and preaching the whole counsel of God. We believe biblical obedience is the foundation for revival, and impacting our culture for Christ is our duty. For too long, the pulpits of America have been silent on the important issues such as marriage and family and assault on our liberty. Join us in the battle for truth on Stand in the Gap weekend, Sunday evenings at 6 p.m. on American Family Radio, and visit us at AmericanPastorsNetwork.org.
Christian Healthcare Ministries enables believers to meet their healthcare costs affordably, biblically, and compassionately. It's not insurance, but a voluntary cost-sharing ministry based on the biblical example of Christians sharing each other's needs. And members aren't fined under the law for not having health insurance. Christian Healthcare Ministries might be your health cost solution. Call 800-791-6225 or visit chministries.org.
This is American Family Radio, a listener-supported ministry of the American Family Association.
Thrilled to have you with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host, taking your calls and questions today. We have some lines open. Pat Montague standing by to help you get connected to us and on the air quickly. 800-525-7000. That's 800-525-7000. Whatever your financial question is, we'd love to hear from you today. Hey, have you checked out MoneyWise.org? I'd love for you to visit the site. We have a host of resources. We aggregate content from 16 content partners, what I believe is the best content in Christian finance. And if you'd like to visit and take advantage of the articles, podcasts, and videos, you'll find them all at MoneyWise.org. While you're there, if you appreciate the ministry that we do on the air with our free MoneyWise coaches that are available to hundreds and hundreds of folks every month across the country, our certified kingdom advisors, all the work that we do, would you consider a gift? We'd certainly be grateful. MoneyWise Media is a not-for-profit ministry, and we are listener-supported. And so while you're there, if you'd make a one-time or a monthly gift by becoming a MoneyWise patron, we'd certainly be grateful. Again, MoneyWise.org is the place to go. Just click donate. You'll find a way to give online. You will find a way to give through the mail with our mailing address or through toll-free number. Our team is ready to assist you. Again, MoneyWise.org, and click the donate button, and thank you in advance. All right, 800-525-7000 is the number to call. I'd like to talk to you today for a moment about the role of money. You know, we often say that money is really three things, and think about these. Money's a tool, it's a test, and it's a testimony. That's right. God uses money in three ways in our lives. That of a tool. You know, Philippians 4, 11, and 12 shows how God uses money as a tool in Paul's life. Remember, Paul wrote that letter from prison. Well, it can be used as a tool in a number of ways. It's a tool to accomplish God's objectives. It's a tool to teach me to rely on Him and put my security in Him and not in things. And it can be used to buy things for myself and for others. And so the first role of money, as we look at it through a biblical lens, is that of a tool. But I also think money is a test. Luke 16, 11, and 12 teaches our responsibility of handling worldly wealth. Money can be a test of abundance or of need. Hebrews 13, 5 tells us to keep our lives free from the love of money. And a question that each of us must ask with respect to our money is whether we're relying on our money in place of God or putting our faith in money instead of God. If we are, whether we have much or little, we're in danger of valuing earthly riches over true eternal riches. So I really believe money can be a test as well, and I think we ought to consider it through that lens. And then third, and I love this one, money's not only a tool and a test, but money is a testimony. Matthew 5, 13 through 16 reminds us that we are the light of the world, meant to be shown from the hilltops, not hidden under a bowl. So whether we have much or a little, how we handle our money can be a testimony to those around us. Our willingness to trust God when we have little and our willingness to share generously when we have much will both be a witness to an unbelieving world as well as an opportunity to be connected to God's activity. We want to show an unbelieving world that Jesus is worth it. And our money, the way we handle it, the way we give it, the way we use it to bless others, and yes, to provide for ourselves, can be an incredible testimony to the world. So I think the question for us today is to consider our handling of money in light of these three ideas. Money as a tool, money as a test, and money as a testimony. And when we really orient our lives in such a way that aligns our handling of money with Scripture, it allows us to experience God's best. Now, that doesn't mean we'll be without challenges. In a fallen world, until we go home to be with the Lord, we will experience difficulty, and that will include with our finances. We will struggle from time to time, and that's the opportunity for God's people to come alongside us and be helpful, and for us to do the same when we're in times of plenty. So you think about that as you think about handling your finances. 800-525-7000 is the number to call today. Back to another email. This one comes to us from Pam. She was wondering about getting a mortgage at age 62. Here's what Pam writes. I'm a nurse looking for a place to live. I'm 62. I have no debt, and I'm looking to retire at 67. Should I get a mortgage at 62? Is that too old? Or should I find a family that might need a nurse to help care for their loved one in return for rent and board? And Pam, I think you've unpacked this well. You know, at the outset, I would say that your age should not matter with respect to whether or not it's appropriate to get a mortgage. Really, the question is whether you want the responsibility of taking on and maintaining a home and whether you'll be able to make the payments after you retire, which is just 5 years away. Ideally, we don't want you to have a mortgage payment in retirement, just because without it, that keeps your expenses as low as possible and therefore your needs are lower. So I would certainly consider, first, are you in a financial position to be able to carry this mortgage? Not only qualifying it for it today, but maintaining it in the future in terms of not only the principal and interest payment, but the taxes and insurance, which will increase over time. We've all certainly experienced our property taxes increasing as of late as the housing market has increased, but also the upkeep of the home itself, the maintenance, the reserves that you'll need to keep it in good working order. And then there's just the time and effort that goes along with that. So given the skill set that God has given you and this idea perhaps that you might want to find a family who needs a live-in nurse that would allow you to not take on a home, perhaps you try that for a season, see how it goes. And if you decide, you know what, I want to be on my own, I don't have any problem with you taking on a mortgage. I think the key is to make sure you have the financial means to carry it. As a rule of thumb, Pam, I would use 25% of your take-home pay, whether that's through your work or Social Security, as a good rule of thumb for the principal, interest, taxes, and insurance payment. It's difficult to do. It's more challenging than ever, in fact, right now with housing prices where they are, especially with mortgage rates climbing. But it's a good guide. I certainly wouldn't go above 30% of your take-home pay for that mortgage payment. And if you use that as a guide, that may give you a sense of whether you have the income both now and what you're expecting to earn in retirement to be able to service that well. As you think through it and put your plan together, Pam, I'm confident that with prayer and this additional financial insight, looking at your finances through this lens, it will become clear whether it makes sense for you to proceed with taking on a mortgage in this season. This is a difficult decision. And, you know, as it relates to paying off your mortgage. You know, we hear from folks all the time wondering whether or not they should pay off their mortgage if they have the ability to do so, because often they will hear from an advisor or someone else that it just doesn't make sense. You should invest that money and pay, continue to pay the mortgage for the tax benefits, and because you can outpace with your returns what you're paying in the form of interest. Well, number one, most people aren't itemizing these days. 80% of tax filers are taking the standard deduction, so there may not be any benefit to that whatsoever. And number two, I think you have to recognize that when it comes to outpacing in the market, that's a possibility. But what about the peace of mind that comes from being unencumbered, being completely debt-free? For me, given what I read in Scripture, I'd rather be out of debt as soon as I can. Now, not by depleting myself of all of my reserves. At the very least, I'd make a goal to have your house paid off by retirement. All right, we're going to take a quick break, and then to your questions just around the corner. This is MoneyWise. Stay with us.
The founding fathers of this country, 90% of them were very serious Christians. There were many pastors, theologians.
Sandy Rios.
At that time, it wasn't mutually exclusive to be a politician and a theologian or to fight for your country.
Now is our time to stand for those biblical principles America's founding fathers treasured. Sandy Rios in the Morning, weekdays at 7 Central on American Family Radio.
Are you in need of hope, encouragement, and the love of God? I'm Pastor Salem. I'd like to invite you to join us for the Christian Worship Hour. For decades, I've been teaching the Word of God so that people everywhere can experience the love and power of a personal relationship with our Lord. Tune into this station this weekend and prepare to be blessed and encouraged by another life-changing message.
Learn more about our program at ChristianWorshipHour.com.
God's Word is packed with life-changing wisdom about your finances, and MoneyWise is here to help you and millions of others learn to be wise stewards. As a nonprofit organization, we rely on help from MoneyWise patrons, supporters of this mission, to help us continue and expand our outreach. Has God provided financial answers for you through this ministry? If so, please consider becoming a monthly MoneyWise patron. Visit MoneyWise.org and click Give on the homepage.
Investing is more than just returns. It's an expression of who you are and what you value. Does the way you invest your money reflect your identity as a Christian? At Eventide, we design investments for performance and a better world, so you can invest with the confidence to reach your financial goals while remaining true to your Christian values and commitments. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More is available at investeventide.com. That's investeventide.com.
Great to have you with us today on MoneyWise on American Family Radio. I'm Rob West, your host. Take your calls and questions, 800-525-7000. Let's go back to the phones here in our final segment of the broadcast today and get to as many questions as we can. Renee in Texas, you're our next caller. You go right ahead.
Yes, I'm calling about Medicare benefits.
Yes, how can I help?
What I know there's several options available. What would be the best one?
In
your opinion.
Sure. Are you, you're just about to turn 65, so you're considering this for the first time?
Yes. Well, I'm already received a call about it. I'll turn 65 in February. So okay. I just wanted to get a little info on it.
Yeah, very good. I would do some research on this, Renee, as you consider your options here. I would say the best overall Medicare supplement plan for new enrollees, post 2020, is the Medicare Supplement Plan G. It provides the most coverage for seniors and Medicare enrollees. It covers almost everything except the Part B deductible, which is $233 for 2022, which is before your insurance will begin to pay for your health care. But it averages about $190 a month. But I think the key for you is to really look at what each of the plans cover and think about your needs moving forward in terms of the medical issues you'll have, as well as the care that you are anticipating moving forward to the best of your knowledge, and just understand which is going to work best for you. But based on the recent legislation changes, I would start by looking at the Plan G as your best option. The average cost of a Medicare supplement in 2022 is about $165 a month. So you can think about that in terms of, you know, beginning to plan for your budget. But I'd do some research online and search for the plans in your zip code. But I think Plan G is probably what you're going to find as being the best option for you. Okay?
Okay. Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks, Renee. God bless you. We appreciate your call today. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Chad in Mississippi. Chad, how can I help you?
Hello, sir. How you doing today?
I'm doing great. Thank you.
I love the app. Got a couple of questions about it.
All right.
When I download it, it shows your savings and your checks, you know, your earnings.
Yes.
And it adds that together. All right, then you have a checking and savings in the actual bank where it's keeping track of that. Do you separate? Do I take that savings and actually move it out of the envelopes into the savings account, or what? How do you propose somebody does that? Or do you have
So Chad's talking about the MoneyWise app, which you'll find in your app store. Just search for MoneyWise Biblical Finance. And when you use Chad, and thanks for your kind remarks on the app, but when you use the digital envelope system, it's actually going to ask you, once you connect your account, so in your case, you connected a savings account and a checking account, it's going to ask you if you want to use those for funding your envelopes. You have a choice to turn one or both of those accounts on. If they're both turned on, they're going to feed into the amount that's available for funding, and then what you do in the app is actually allocate the funds from your funding accounts, which would be the total of those two, into your envelopes. And you could do that manually, or you can do it automatically on a predetermined schedule, you know, once or twice a month, and you pick the amount that gets funded into each envelope. And then as it decreases the amount available for funding, it's actually kind of, it's not physically moving the money, but electronically in the app, it's showing you how it's decreasing that amount that's available because that money's been allocated to the various envelopes. And then as the transactions come in and go into the appropriate envelope, it reduces the amount that's available. So you can see at any given moment what's left, and you don't go beyond what you have. So I think the question you have to decide is, do you want to consider both of those accounts available for funding your envelopes? And if so, then you would allocate out of them, and then the transactions would go against them to keep you on budget. The other thing I would mention to you, Chad, is two things. Number one is, we have coaches that would be happy to walk alongside you to help you get all of this set up. It's great when you're just starting out because they can answer all of your questions. They can help you make decisions about how to set it up, answer, you know, any of the how-tos that you're struggling with. And so that would be something I would take advantage of on our website at moneywise.org. The other is, you can always email support@moneywise.org, and they'll send you helpful tutorials and videos, and they'll get back to you within 24 hours. But do you have any specific questions related to what I just shared?
No, that answered my question there. Got one more if I don't.
Yes, sir. Go right ahead.
Me and my wife has just come up with some more medical bills and stuff, and I've actually been contributing money to buy stock at the company I work for. I guess the best thing to do, because it's not going to come out of the expenses, that's all taken care of. I just need to quit buying stock and put some more into my income or into the envelopes to take care of the medical bills, correct?
Yeah, that's right. I think anything you can do while you're trying to get these medical bills taken care of to reduce money going to other things, which is going to increase the amount coming into you in your pay, is going to be more that's available to fund your envelopes. And you're going to do that based on what your priorities are. And I would agree with you. One of the priorities you need to be focused on right now is getting those medical bills taken care of. So by reducing the amount going into your company sponsored plan, or in your case, buying company stock, that just creates more coming into you through your paycheck that then can be allocated to your goals and priorities. I would also say to you, Chad, if you have medical bills that are a bit older and you build up enough to come in and pay those off, I would call them, because oftentimes if you are paying cash and you're willing to pay it in full, they will often do that at a reduced amount. They might allow you to pay that off 70 cents on the dollar or something like that. So I would absolutely do what you're saying in that, you know, be building up an amount in your medical repayment fund so that you can go in and knock those off one at a time.
All right. I appreciate it, sir.
All righty. God bless you, Chad. We appreciate your call today. 800-525-7000 is the number to call. Chad's talking about the MoneyWise app. Let me share with you just a bit about what we've done with that, because it's a great resource for you to consider. Our team, and we have a team of developers here at MoneyWise Media that spent years building the MoneyWise app. I couldn't find a digital envelope system, money management system on the market that I liked. I tried them all. And so we said, you know what, we're going to build it. Not only are we going to build the very best money management system out there based on the tried and true envelope system, but using a modern approach with a smartphone in your hand with a simple, beautiful interface, but we also want to build in the app a community for God's people to come together to get their questions answered and engage with all of our content that we're aggregating on our website. And so that's what resulted after 2 years of development in the MoneyWise app, what I think is the very best money management system out there, where you can pick from one of three approaches, either what Chad used or is using, which is our digital envelope system. That's the most hands-on, all the way to our track-only option, which is where you simply pull your transactions down automatically, and you can just have them automatically categorized so you can get just a bird's eye view of how your spending breaks down in your various categories, just to monitor it if you don't really want to be that hands-on. And then there's kind of a middle ground approach where you create a plan and then track against it. But I think you'll find that, especially in these times where we need to stay very closely on top of our spending, that the MoneyWise app will help you. But there are two other key components to it. The other is our MoneyWise community, where we have questions being posted to the community every day. And our users, you all in the audience, are answering each other's questions. Plus, our MoneyWise coaches are in there as well. And we're delighted to have them in there providing help and assistance. So you can post to the MoneyWise community. And then the third component is our Learn tab, where the best content in Christian finance, articles, videos, podcasts, is all or are all being aggregated for your assistance. And so you can go in there and check out the latest content and be encouraged with the practical help that's available. So how do you find it? Well, you just head to our website, moneywise.org, and you can read more about the app, or just go directly to your app store and search for MoneyWise Biblical Finance. All right, we're about out of time today. Before we wrap up for the day, let me share one more email. This one came recently from Sue, and she writes to us, I want to pay off some credit cards. I've got multiple credit cards. I have the money to pay them off. And when I do, I'm wondering, should I close them all at once? Will this hurt my credit score? And Sue, I would say this is a great question that we get asked all the time. Number one, congratulations for being in a position to be able to pay off the credit cards. That's great. By the way, for those of you listening who have more than $4,000 in debt, you're struggling to pay off your credit cards, check out our friends at ChristianCreditCounselors.org. They'll be a great resource to you. But Sue, once those are paid off, then I would close them no more than 2 to 3 cards every 6 months. The reason is it's going to change your credit mix. It will pull your credit availability, your credit limit down, which will raise your credit utilization. And the combination of those two things, plus the history of those accounts being removed from your credit file, will make your credit score come down. And so by only doing 2 to 3 a month, that will lessen the blow of that. Also, if you're looking to get new credit, you're buying a house or a car sometime in the next 6 months, I would wait until after you do that to close those accounts. No sense in closing these accounts causing you to drop down below one of the thresholds that's going to cause you to pay more interest and not get as favorable terms. Sue, I hope that helps you. Thanks so much for writing to us today. Folks, that's going to do it for us today. We're so grateful for our partnership with American Family Radio here at MoneyWise. Thank you to my team, Pat, Devin, and Robert. Couldn't do it without them. Thank you for being along with us today as well. Come back and join us tomorrow. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.